10-minute speaker is Chuck T. from Campo.
Well, hi. I'd like to congratulate anybody who's gone another 24 hours without a drink, first off. I'm Chuck, and I'm an alcoholic. Now, I was really nervous about coming here tonight, and my sponsor told me to take all my clothes off, put on some cowboy boots, and stand in front of a full-length mirror and try to do this speech. So I'm standing in front of this mirror naked in my cowboy boots, and one thing became quite clear to me. I'm too old to stand naked in front of a full-length mirror in my cowboy boots. At one point in my life, I had close to 12 years of sobriety. Life was really good for me. I had a family that loved me, skiing, camping, all that good stuff. And when I got out of the sixth grade, I went on a 25-year run. That's the way it was for me. My idols were Cheech and Chong. I mean, and that's not far from the truth. I was the youngest of five, and there was a lot of partying going on. And I admired the guys that got the most drunk and got the most girls. And that's what I wanted to be. That's what I aspired to be. And I worked real hard at it for a long time. I think my first drunk that I can remember, a friend of mine and I fished for a six-pack of Mickey's Big Mouth outside a liquor store. I was about 12. And we split that. I couldn't tell you what we did, but I think I had a really good time. That's basically the way my drinking was. I managed to drink myself through high school, and I managed to drink my way through a contractor's license, and I moved down to the beach. Now, down at the beach, I made drinking into an art form. My friends and I had it made. I can romance the drinking for hours, but there was Tuesday night was dollar margaritas at a place called Diego's. Thank God for Arizona girls, because they were here for 1 week, and that's all I could commit to. And then there was a place called Coconuts who had Jimmy Buffett night out at Shelter Island, and that was a real good drunk to go to. So I drank till I was about 28, and I met the love of my life. We got married, and we continued to drink. It lasted all of 2.5 years. I got a son through that marriage. But I didn't, I knew it was time to grow up, but I just couldn't do it. I couldn't stop using the drugs. I couldn't stop drinking. I made money, but that didn't seem to matter because I didn't want to go home. So I wound up getting divorced. I didn't really have anywhere to go, so I moved in with my father, who was also my best friend. And I stayed there depressed for 3 or 4 months with a bottle under the bed. I'd wake up in the night, drink on the bottle. I'd pass out again. And one morning I woke up and I had wet the bed. So I'm 29 or 30 years old and I'm wetting the bed at my father's house. And I'm thinking to myself, this is really not the way to live. And I remember that was the day before a Super Bowl, because the following day I decided I was going to stop drinking. And by the time the Super Bowl came on, I was shaking. Probably not as much as I am right now, but... I was shaking. It was the DTs, and it scared the hell out of me. So I called AA Central, and I went to a meeting. And I was there for probably 10 minutes, and everybody was so damn happy, it made me nuts. I couldn't stay there. I needed to leave, and I left, and I had a drink, and the shakes went away. And I decided I'd quit drinking on my own. So I did. I made it, I controlled my drinking for a while. And after a short time, I started getting some DUIs with my controlled drinking. And I was working up north, and I got 2 DUIs, came back, and decided I'd better get sober again. And then when I went into court, they told me I had to go to AA meetings. And I had to go through a SB 38 course to get my driver's license back. So I was forced to go to AA meetings. I had this little slip that I had to get signed. And I would go 5 minutes late, and I would leave 5 minutes early. And I didn't like them. What everybody said made no sense to me. I didn't want to be there. I would leave and get drunk. I'd have a drink before I went in if I thought I could get away with it. I made it through that, and I made it through the SB 38. I got my driver's license back. And so I was good to go again. And I made it a couple of years until I started getting some more DUIs. And I got another two DUIs. I got one here in San Diego, which was my third. And then I took a job up up north near Frisco. And when I finished that job, I had a boatload of money in my hand. And I was coming back to ask another woman that I've met, the woman of my life, my dreams, my soulmate. I was coming home to get a ring and ask her to marry me. Well, I picked up another DUI. And they took me to L.A. County Jail and kept me there for 3.5 months. Not a fun place to be. I'd been locked up a few times in my life, but I was always out on bail. You know, my friends would come and get me. I'd laugh about it and go party, and it was over with. This was no party. This was no fun at all. And it was time to grow up. My my fiancé was pregnant with my daughter, and I missed 3.5 months of that pregnancy while I sat in jail, scared for my life literally every day. And so I swore to myself I wouldn't drink anymore. I got out of that, finally, and I came down here. I had to go to court for the DUI that I got in San Diego. And luckily, they didn't know about the one in L.A., or I'd have spent a year in prison. But they didn't, so I spent 3.5 months in a work furlough, what they call work furlough here in San Diego. What that means is I get to go make money and give it all to them and live under their roof and have a little bit of freedom. I could see my fiancé during the weekends for an hour. And my son from the first marriage, he chose not to come and see me. I was real proud of that, too. So anyway, I got through all that, and I had to do the SB 38 class again, and I did. And I went to AA meetings again, and I did. And again, I came in late and left early. I wasn't listening to people. I didn't need it. You know, I was done. It was time for me to grow up, time for me to become a man and do the thing. So I did for almost 5 years. And then at a New Year's party, the toast came, and I figured I had it licked again. 5 years without a drink, I must be okay. So I had a little glass of champagne. Within 6 months of that glass of champagne, my wife didn't want to talk to me anymore. I didn't have any work. I was alone in a hotel room. I had empty bottles of vodka in one corner, empty bottles of takeout or empty cans of takeout food on the other. No one to talk to. No one wanted me around. I was broke. I started using my credit cards. My little girl just missed me. My son missed me. All I could do was cry. I was ready to die. There is no way I could stop drinking. I didn't know how. And I called another friend of a friend who worked the program and talked to me about the program. And that person kind of talked me into going into, a home, a place. I went to Whiteside Manor up in Riverside. And by this time I was beaten. You see, I thought that I had admitted I was powerless over alcohol a million times. But I never really did. Because I always thought I could beat it. I was going to beat this thing. Little did I know that I had to quit. I had to give up and admit I was powerless over alcohol. And I could not manage my own life. So when I got into this home, that's what I did. And I got a guy there, Preacher Bob. He was a very trustworthy man. Or at least I thought he was. And he helped me through these steps. He helped me through the first, second, and third step. And I had an open mind because I was beat. I had nowhere else to go, and I was finished. So I listened to him, and I sat and I did a fourth step. I did a searching and fearless inventory of myself. And, man, that was a scary thing to do. But I did it diligently, and I spent a lot of time on it. I was there 24 hours a day working on it. I had nothing better to do. And I did it, and I looked at some really scary things in my life, things that I never wanted to talk about, things that I'd swept under the rug, things that I'd forgotten about. And I sat with Preacher Bob in front of a waterfall, and I talked to him honestly and openly about every single one of the things on the list. And I cried like a baby, and it was probably the most emotional time of my life. but something happened to me. When we were done, I sat at that waterfall alone with myself and with my Maker for the first time since I was a child. And I realized that I wasn't alone. I realized I didn't have to be alone and that I could do this. I could be the man I wanted to be. And it was the realest thing that's ever happened to me. It was a miracle.
Wow.
That went by really fast. So, you know, now I came back here really quick. I came back here and I got into some meetings. I went to a few meetings. I was lucky enough to find a meeting where I feel comfortable. And there are people there that are willing to talk to me on a daily basis if I choose to go there. I have a sponsor that I call on a daily basis. And I have friends that I can talk to. Because I need to go there and change the way I think. Without the meeting and without AA, my brain says I can have a little glass of champagne at New Year's. And if I do that, I'm a dead man, and I'm certain of it. So now I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a husband, I'm a lover, and I'm an alcoholic. My name's Chuck. Thank you for letting me share.
Charmaine.